Kunja Bihari. Gopi Jana Vallabha Girivara Dhari. Gopi Jana Vallabha Girivara Dhari. Yashoda Nandana Vajjana Ranjana. Yashoda Nandana Vajjana Ranjana. Yamuna Tira Vanachari. Jamuna Tira Vanachari. Jaya Radha Madhava Kunja Bihari. Jaya Radha Madhava Kunja Bihari. Gopi Jana Vallabha Girivara Dhari. Gopi Jana Vallabha Girivara Dhari. Yashoda Nandana Vajjana Ranjana. Yashoda Nandana Vajjana Ranjana. Jamuna Tira Vanachari. Jamuna Tira Vanachari. Jaya Radha Madhava Kunja Bihari. Jaya Radha Madhava Kunja Bihari. Abha Kunja Bihari.
Jaya Vishnu Pad Paramahamsa Puri Vijayacharya Astor Tara Shaka Sri Srimadis Divine Grace Abhay Charna Vrinda Bhakti Vedanta Swami Prabhupada Ki Ananta Koti Vaishnava Vrinda Ki Jaya Namacharya Srila Haridas Thakur Ki Jaya. Prem Se Kaho Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Shivasadi Gaura Bhakti Vrinda Ki Shri Shri Radha Krishna Gopa Gopinath Shyamakunda Radha Kunda Giri Govardhan Ki Shri Vrindavan Dham Ki Jaya. Shri Gangamai Ki Jaya. Shri Jamunamai Ki Jaya. Shri Mata Tulsi Devi Maharani Ki Jaya. Is the Van Grace Srila Prabhupada Ki Jaya. Our Lord Shri Shri Radha Shyam Sundar Ki Jaya. Our Lord Shri Shri Krishna Balaram Ki Jaya. Our Lord Shri Shri Gauri Tai Ki Jaya. Our Lord Shri Shri Lakshmi Shindadev Ki Jaya. Iskandu Ramanrati Dham Ki Jaya. Jai Gauri Manande. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to the lotus feet of Shri Shri Guru and Gauranga. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate. Saraswate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
So today we'll be reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 2, Chapter 5, entitled The Cause of All Causes. Text 39. Grivayam janalokasya.
Grivayam janalokasya.
Tapolokastanadayat.
Tapolokastanadayat.
Murdabhi satyalokastu.
Murdabhi satyalokastu.
Brahmalokasanatana.
Grivayam janalokasya.
Grivayam
janalokasya.
Tapolokastanadvayat.
Tapolokastanadvayat.
Murdabhi satyalokastu.
Murdabhi satyalokastu.
Brahmalokasanatana.
Brahmalokasanatana.
Grivayam janalokasya. Tapolokastanadvayat.
Tapolokastanadvayat.
Murdabhi satyalokastu.
Murdabhi satyalokastu.
Brahmalokastanatana.
Brahmalokastanatana.
Please chant. Grivayam janalokasya. Tapolokastanadvaya. Murdabhi satyalokastu. Brahmalokasanatana.
Grivayam janalokasya.
Grivayam janalokasya.
Tapolokastanadvaya.
Murdabhi satyalokastu.
Brahmalokasanatana.
Grivayam janalokasya.
Tapolokasanadvaya.
Murdabhi satyalokastu. Brahmaloka sanatana.
Grivayam
janalokasya.
Tapoloka
sanadvaya.
Brahmaloka
sanatana. Grivayam. Up to the neck. Janaloka. The Janaloka planetary system. Asya. Of him. Tapoloka. The Tapoloka planetary system. Stanadvayat. Beginning from the breast. Murdabihi. By the head. Satyalokaha,
Satyalokaha,
the Satyaloka planetary system.
Two,
but
Brahmalokaha,
the spiritual planets.
Sanatana,
eternal. Translation and purport by Zivan Grishi Vaisi Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. So, translation. From the forefront of the chest up to the neck of the universal form of the Lord are situated the planetary systems named Janaloka and Tapoloka. Whereas Satyaloka, the topmost planetary system, is situated on the head of the form. The spiritual planets, however, are eternal. Purport. Many times in these pages we have discussed the spiritual planets situated beyond the material sky. And the description is corroborated in this verse. The word Sanatana is significant. This very idea of eternity is expressed in the Bhagavad Gita 8:20, where it is said that beyond the material creation is the spiritual sky, where everything is eternal. Sometimes Satyaloka, the planet in which Brahma resides, is also called Brahmaloka. But the Brahmaloka mentioned here is not the same as the Satyaloka planetary system. This Brahmaloka is eternal, whereas the Satyaloka planetary system is not eternal. And to distinguish between the two, the adjective Sanatana has been used in this case. According to Srila Jiva Goswami, this Brahmaloka is the loka or abode of Brahman, or the Supreme Lord. In the spiritual sky, all the planets are as good as the Lord Himself. The Lord is all spirit, and His name, fame, glories, qualities, pastimes, etc., are all non-different from Him because He is absolute. As such, the planets in the kingdom of God are also non-different from Him. In those planets, there is no difference between the body and the soul, nor is there any influence of time as we experience it in the material world. And in addition to there being no influence of time, the planets in Brahmaloka, due to being spiritual, are never annihilated. All variegatedness in the spiritual planets is also one with the Lord, and therefore the Vedic aphorism, Ekam Evad Vitiyam, is fully realized in that Sanatana atmosphere of spiritual variegatedness. This material world is only a shadow phantasmagoria of the spiritual kingdom of the Lord, and because it is a shadow, it is never eternal. The variegatedness in the material world of duality, that spirit and matter, cannot be compared to that of the spiritual world. Because of a poor fund of knowledge, less intelligent persons sometimes mistake the conditions of the shadow world to be equivalent to those of the spiritual world, and thus they mistake the Lord and His pastimes in the material world to be one with the conditioned souls and their activities. The Lord condemns such less intelligent persons in the Bhagavad Gita 9:11. Avajananti mam mudha manusim tanu ashritam param bhavam ajananto mama bhuta maheshwaram. Whenever the Lord incarnates, He does so in His full internal potency, Atma Maya. And less intelligent persons mistake Him to be one of the material creations. Sridhar Swami, therefore, rightly commenting on this verse, says that the Brahmaloka mentioned here is Vaikuntha, the kingdom of God, which is Sanatana or eternal, and is therefore not exactly like the material creations described above. The Virat universal form of the Lord is an imagination for the material world. It has nothing to do with the spiritual world or the kingdom of God. Om Jnana Timurandasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshurunmilitam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Yuta Parakamalam Shri Gurun Vaishnavamscha Shri Rupa Sagrajatam Sahagana Raghunatan Vitamstam Sajivam Sadvaitam Savadutam Parijana Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padam Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishakan Vitamscha He Krishna Karuna Sindhu Dina Bandhu Jagatpate Gopika Sha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namastute Tapta Kanchana Gaurangi Radhe Vrindavaneshwari Brisavanushtute Devi Anamami Hare Priye Vancha Kalpatarubhyascha Kripa Sindhubhyayevacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadada Shivasadi Gaurabhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare Namo Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prasthaya Vipala Sumati Shila Vibhavata Bhuti Namini Sri Sri Vrindaka Vivira Padapad Pankajodayane Prabhupada Nuvadaya Namashi Devadaya Namo Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prasthaya Vipala Sumati Bhakti Vedanta Swaminiti Namini Namaste Saraswate Deve Gauravani Pujarani Nivishesha Sunyavani Paschata Vishitani So, in today's verse and purport, there are several words that is being given great significance. Like the word Sanatana, the words Ekam Evad Vityam, Satyaloka, Brahmaloka, and then there are several concepts. Thank you. Yeah, this concept of Satyaloka, Brahmaloka, and Brahmaloka. So we'll discuss that more. Along with that, there are the concepts that Srila Prabhupada indicates here of acceptance of authorities, surrender, take things as is being presented by the previous acharyas, and so forth. So, in this string of verses, they have been describing the universal form of the Lord. And in today's verse, it's being described the planetary systems that exist in the region of the breast of the Lord going up to his neck, which is Janaloka and Tapaloka planetary systems. And on his head is the Satyaloka planetary system, which is sometimes called Brahmaloka, which is the abode of Lord Brahma. But above that are the spiritual planets. So, sometimes Lord Brahma's planet, Satyaloka, is addressed as Brahmaloka. So, this is not the name of the planet, Brahmaloka. It is, we can say, a title that identifies that location. So, for example, in the Ramayana, we heard that Sita's father, Mother Sita's father, Janak Maharaj, he's always being addressed as Janak Maharaj. And you have Janakapur, and which that pastime took place about 2.2 million years ago. And 5,000 years ago, we read in the Krishna book where Lord Balaram went to his dear friends and devotees at Janakpur. He went and stayed 4 months with Janak Maharaj. So this Janak Maharaj back in Lord Ram's pastimes and here in Balaram's pastimes, they are not the same personality. But the position is the same. It's the position is Janak Maharaj, the king of Janak. but their names are different. Their personalities are different. So similarly, Brahma Loka indicates the abode of Lord Brahma. It's not a personality, it's the abode, but the name of that planet is Satya Loka. So not to confuse it with what is stated here in this verse of Brahma Loka. So the Brahma Loka indicated here is actually the spiritual world. It's the loka or the abode of the Brahman, the personality of Godhead. So there is that difference for us to understand. So to understand the name of a thing and the title of a thing or a person. So like we can say the Alachua Temple president or the American president. The Alachua Temple president would always remain. That title would always be there. But the personality changes from time to time. Or the American president. The title is there, president, but the individual changes from time to time. So similarly, the Brahma Loka, as described in the material world as the head of the Lord, is a position that where a Brahma resides, and that Brahma changes also. So to understand this, Srila Prabhupada quoted the authorities of the previous acharyas. So this is the beauty of the Vedic culture, that to understand, we have the Vedic authorities, we have the acharyas. That with all the books are here, everything is here, but we cannot understand it of our own. So the facilities are there. Just like, for example, we all have eyes and we can see. And there are objects to be seen. The deities are here, the altar is here, the devotees are here, the temple. Srila Prabhupada is here, Mirdanga, so many objects are here. So we have eyes to see and there are objects to be seen. But if there is complete blackout, if everything is totally dark, then what's the use of our eyes? We can't see anything. All the objects are there, but we just can't see it. We can't see them. So Vedic culture is like that. The scriptures are like that, that they're here, but to see the truth and to understand, we need the help of the Guru and the Acharyas. So here Srila Prabhupada is quoting, the Guru and the Acharyas, that this is their presentation of this scripture so we can understand. So we don't take things in our own concept. Excuse me. And this is one of the problems that many philosophers have, that they're trying to use their independent, tiny, limited senses and understanding to understand the vastness of the Vedic understanding. So it is not practical in that way. That without the surrender and without the acceptance of the authorities, that we are not able to understand. So these acharyas quoted here in this verse, Srila Jiva Goswami and Srila Sridhar Swami, they both conclude and they both give their purport that this Brahma Loka that is mentioned here is the actual spiritual, the Vaikuntha planets, the abode of the Brahman. It is not Lord Brahma's planet in the material world. So to differentiate that, they use the word Sanatana, which is eternal. So the spiritual worlds are eternal, the material world is not eternal. So they use that. So wanting to understand about the acharyas, sometimes we read in the Bhagavatam and then we get the purports of the acharyas, and you can't figure where they get that purport from, that verse, you know, how they derive it. because it appears to be completely different. For example, in the 10th canto, if you read the Sharartha Darshini, which is the commentary by Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur on the 10th canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, many of the verses, you read them and read his purports, you'll find so much more that is not there in the verse. The reason for that is that these acharyas, they're so advanced devotees that they are in the eternal lila of the Lord. So they are there witnessing these pastimes, and therefore they are able to bring out more than what the short verse says. They can be able to describe more what went on. Like, for example, if we go out on the road and we met some devotee, and one devotee is explaining to somebody else, well, you know, the Hare Krishna temple, there is a morning program. It starts at 7:20 and it ends at 9 o'clock. We have a class, we greet the deities, we do an arti to Srila Prabhupada, so forth. So in a basic, in a nutshell, that's what it is. But somebody who is here witnessing, who is sitting in this room witnessing the class, they can describe much more. Well, there are some devotees making garlands, there are some making wicks, there are some looking at their cell phones, there are some, you know, monitoring the boards, and they're, you know, the deities have such little fine details, and the deity is also absolute that he plays the flute with his ears, as we see this morning. So that's one form of the absolute truth, that he can play, he can use different instruments with his different senses. You know, last week Friday, I think when I was doing arti, I saw the Chota Krishna's flute. It was stick up in Krishna's nose. So I said, okay, you know, it's you're absolute. You can, and you can use any sense to do anything. But for us, let us put the flute where it's supposed to be. So stick it back towards his lips. So anyway, like that. If you're here witnessing, there are so much more details that you can offer. So these acharyas are like that, that they're here, they're in these pastimes, and they're actually witnessing these pastimes. So they can bring out more than what reaches our eyes today, what we can term the limited verses of the Bhagavatam. Like the Bhagavatam, it's only 18,000 verses. Like the original Ramayana is written in 1 billion verses. So, and there's so many more of the Puranas and Upanishads that have so many more verses than the Bhagavatam. You had a question, Prabhu? You were saying something? Okay, we can wait later, if that's okay. Yeah, so anyway, like that, these acharyas, they're seeing these pastimes, they're witnessing, and therefore they can give us, they are the source of they are the real authorities. Because they are there. Even in Krishna's pastime, now it's Karti coming up, so we have the Damodar month. So the pastime of Damodar, when Lord Krishna knock over these two, the twin Arjuna trees, who witnessed that? Yeah, and how old were they? No, they're probably smaller. They're the ones who witness that pastimes, and they become the authority. They reveal. None of the elders saw it. They weren't there. And that become the authority of our scripture. These little boys, they were there witnessing that pastime. So like that. And in this verse, these two acharyas, they are agreeing on the same point. Sridhar Swami and Jiva Goswami, they are agreeing that yes, this Brahman, this Brahmaloka that's described, is the actual spiritual Brahmaloka, the abode of Vaikuntha. That's what is described here. In some cases, they differ. Like, for example, in the first canto, when they're describing the creation, Sridhar Swami, Jiva Goswami and Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur, they both say one thing. They have one point of view. But Sridhar Swami had a totally opposite point of view. His description is totally the opposite. So, is that something that is contradictory? No, it's not. Because, let's use the example, if we have like a crystal ball, this gemstone, we have gem specialists here, they can tell us more. You have this gemstone, and if you stick it, if I hold it in my hand, and I ask Gopal from that angle, what are you seeing? He's saying, oh, due to the reflection of the light, I'm seeing yellow. Then I ask on this side, Madhumati, what are you seeing from that angle? Oh, I'm seeing green because of the light that's reflecting. And at the back, oh, I'm seeing a different color. But it's all the same. It's all the same one item, but from different angles. So it depends on which angles the acharyas are looking at things from, then the different understanding comes out. But the conclusion is one, is that the establishment of the absolute truth, but from different angles. So they can reconcile it into the one fact. So this is one of the understanding that we have to understand from the acharyas, that even sometimes they may differ, it is not a big deal, but just because it's coming from different angles. So therefore, in the Sad Goswami Astika, we sing Nana Shastra Vichara Naika Nipana Sadharma Samstapako. So the six Goswamis, they have scrutinizingly studied the Vedic scriptures, Nana Shastras. And what they did? They established Sad Dharma, the eternal truth, from studying and getting things from all different angles, and established the one. So therefore, in this verse you find Srila Prabhupada used this phrase, Ekam Evad Vityam, that the absolute truth, personality of Godhead, is one. It's not many, it's one. But there are variegatedness within that one. So Srila Prabhupada in particular used this here to establish Ekam Evad Vityam. Once there was one devotee, he was a devotee of Lord Shiva. Very, very staunch Shivite. And very respectful to the devotees, very friendly, respectful. So one devotee was explaining to him the same word, Ekam Evad Vityam, that the absolute truth is one, that it is not two, that it's Krishna, it's one. So at the end, the man said very humbly, he said, can we establish two absolute truths, that one is Lord Shiva and one is Lord Krishna? That way, I can, my absolute truth can be Lord Shiva and your absolute truth can be Krishna, and therefore we can be friends, we have no conflicts. So, like that, sometimes these arguments come about. So this idea here of the acceptance of the authorities that Srila Prabhupada is quoting, these authorities to able to understand, this is what gives us our strength and our real conclusion. In the Upanishads, you have the story also of the five blind men. They were about and they ran into this big object. So one of the blind men felt this big object and he said, oh, I ran into a wall, this big wall. And another man says, oh, I just held this whole big snake. That this snake is there. And this other one saying, I found this entire tree trunk here. So what it is, these five men, they run into an elephant. So from their different field, and they're all blind, so they can't see, and so they're concluding that these different parts is actually different objects. But if they're able to see, or somebody come in authority and said, no, this is an elephant, then they can understand. So similarly, many philosophers are trying to understand the scriptures of their own without taking the help of Vedic authority. But in our Krishna consciousness movement, Srila Prabhupada gave us this wonderful lineage of the cyclic succession of understanding from the Vedic authority. And this is the pride that we can have in our Krishna consciousness, that we have this authority that we can hold on to, that we can take references from, that we can refer back to, like that. So even in Bhagavad Gita, their verse is quoted here, 8:20. And there's also, not quoted here, but Bhagavad Gita 4:34, Tadvini Pani Patene Paripasne Shivaya. So it's like to accept the authority of the Guru, to understand, to worship and serve the devotees and the acharyas, and take their version, take their understanding. That is our perfection. To hold on to our limited senses, what we can see and hear by ourselves, is not the best thing to do. I remember many years ago, we were greeting the deities, and I was standing right next to Nagaraj Prabhu, and he told me, he said, as far as I can tell, Chota Krishna does not have his flute on. I can see very clearly, we were right there, I can see very clearly, his hands are empty, the flute is on the ground. But he didn't say that, no, he doesn't have the flute. He said, as far as he can tell. So that kind of struck me deeply, that how a devotee thinks, the mood that what a devotee adopts and takes. That we're not relying on our senses. We're not, you know, he's not relying on his senses that what he saw. No, he's leave room for errors, leave room for improvements. Just like in the earlier canto, we have the pastime of Maharaj Parikshit, when he met the Sudra king that was beating the cow and the bull. He could see from all evidences that this is the culprit, this is the man that was doing it. But he didn't conclude. He asked Dharma, the bull, who has done this to you? He could have very see, you know, he's such a great devotee, he could immediately understand. But he didn't come to that conclusion that, okay, what I saw is what is the truth. Like you have this one comedian, TV comedian, her line is that, do you only believe what you see? You know, that you can see, but it's not, it doesn't mean it's true because you just saw it. So similarly here with Maharaj Parikshit, he saw exactly, you know, the Sudra king had this his chopper, his axe in his hand. It all has blood on it, and the bull is there. The legs are broken. They're bleeding. The cow is also hurt. But he didn't take it. Well, okay, I come to my conclusion. I'm going to kill you now. No, he asked, who has done this to you? So this is another concept of acceptance of authority, acceptance of the higher understanding that's beyond the senses. So we also have the description here of the eternal form of the Lord, that we are all Sanatana, we are all eternal living entities. And this material world is temporary, is not eternal. Srila Prabhupada described here as a shadow world. And because it looks so real, then non-devotees or ones who do not take the proper authority, they try to compare when Krishna comes and performs his pastimes, they compare Krishna's activities to that of our material activities. Therefore, Prabhupada quoted this verse, 9:11, Abhajananti Mam Mudha. He said, fools, Krishna says, fools deride him when he descend in this material world. They do not know his supreme position and his transcendental nature over all that be. So, for us to understand, again, we circle back to the same thing of taking authority, taking the version of the advanced devotees, of the sadhus, accept the versions of the scriptures. So our line of authority is Guru, Sadhu, and Shastra. So this is the standard. And this is standard that Srila Prabhupada established here. Anywhere in this purport, you didn't see where Srila Prabhupada says, well, this is what it means, that this Brahma Loka means a spiritual world. He didn't say that. He said, according to our acharyas, and he quoted, he took the authority. He quoted that according to our acharyas, then such and such and such is there. So, and this is the line of authority that he's coming down, he's bringing. And many times, even those lines of authorities, that their work is so complex and their writings are so complex that we can't understand. Therefore, one time Srila Prabhupada said, he said, these books, I could have written it so much faster, but I have to take time to put it in a way so that common men can understand. One very vivid example, what we recite every morning after Mangal Arati Day, Brahma Samhita. Sometimes every morning we do 5 verses. At the end of those 5 verses, I'm like, I'm kind of totally lost. That what that means, that is so complex in that those little verses. But then Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Maharaj, he translated the Brahma Samhita and he gave wonderful purports for us to understand what those verses mean. But his writing is so complex also that, at least for me, there is no way I can understand anything close to it. So Srila Prabhupada, taking the blessings of the acharyas and taking the blessings of his Guru Maharaj, further explained that Brahma Samhita. And now we are able to get a glimpse of its understanding. Also, like Jiva Goswami has been quoted here, that his satsandarbhas that he wrote, they are so complex that you can use one, you can take just a few pages of his book, and you can do your thesis on your PhD and come out successful. That's how complex they are. And that's how the standard of his writing is. So we need all these explanations. We need these breakdowns as we go down the line. We need all these breakdowns so we can understand and we can accept the authority. And therefore, if we continue to do that, our vision would be the right one. We would see things in the correct light. I think I told this story before once when I was a teenager. I was helping my dad planting his paddy field. And we had to go down dirt road. It was all, you know, and we were all poor. So we were going there with our bicycles. But there was one rich man that he had his paddy field next to my dad's. So in those days, he was considered rich because he had a motorcycle. So he would come with his motorcycle and his sunglasses, his dark sunglasses. So the way you know when the, Puyandipati, it's time for reach time for reaping is that it would get brown, the paddy field or the rice, and it would get brown and then it would start hanging over, starting to fall over, so you know that's time for reaping. So everybody was reaping their crops because it's time, it's getting brown. And this one man with a motorcycle, he's saying, what's wrong with you people that the paddy field is still green? It's still green yet. That why are you reaping? It's all green. So one day he came and it starts to rain. So he had to take his son, his dark green sunglasses off. And then he screamed, oh no, I'm going to lose my crop because they're all almost past time for reaping. So because of his dark green glasses, then that's what he was seeing. So depends on what via media you're looking through, that's what you would see. So it's recommended that we search into the right via media. And if you're sincere, then Krishna will send that right via media, which is the spiritual master and the sadhus and the shastras. So then we can see and understand things from its correct perspective. So I would like to stop here. These are a few points. So we discuss about the difference between Satchaloka, Brahmaloka, and Brahmaloka. We talked about the eternal nature, Sanatana. We talked about the one absolute truth, Ekam Evadvitiyam. The authority that Srila Prabhupada presented to us, how he accepted authorities and how we should do the same. So, yes, Prabhu.
You said the Ramayana was 1 billion verses?
Yes, the original Ramayana, according to Ridayananda Maharaj, he said the original Ramayana was written in 1 billion verses. That's what he wrote in his introduction to his book. Yes, Mother Ragatmika.
Thank you, Prabhu. You mentioned how that incident in Ranagaraj allowed room for error by his statement that, from as far as I can see.
Yeah.
I made me think of Vaisheshika Prabhu. One motto of his is, "I live to be corrected."
Yeah.
It's a nice attitude to have in association with devotees.
Yeah. Thank you very much. I always like Mother Madhavati. Yeah, I always like to learn that, and I'm trying to adopt to where we can leave room for correction, not that whatever I think I saw is correct or what I hear is correct. Yes.
As far as I see, Chota Krishna doesn't have his flute on. First he was playing with his ear, but as far as I see, he does not have a flute. So if somebody is clean, they can...
Yeah, Tathamata Gopisha just went up there.
Yeah, she did.
I've noticed it on several times whenever I go on the altar, it always keeps falling off. Mm. Probably because the way, you know, from my perspective, how his body is built, and unless you put that blue tack very strong there, he doesn't stay. And sometimes that happens, but some pujaris told me that, oh, you know, Krishna just want to throw his flute away, he doesn't always want it, or... You know, that's the way they see in their pastimes with the Lord. Yeah. And sometimes things are different. I remember when we first moved to Alachua in 1998, somebody gave me a picture, or an ordinary picture, you know, the regular, what, 18 and a half, or 18 by 11 and a half. And it was Krishna and some gopis with a calf behind him, and he's playing his flute. So I hang that picture up on our wall, and it happened to be the same place that after Mangal Arati, where I'll be pacing and walking, my face would go right up to that picture, you know, like right there back and forth. And I'm thinking something is wrong with this picture. Something is not right. And then I keep thinking, no, you know, I'm just seeing things wrong. No worries, you know, it's okay. But after 4.5 years, I wound up my courage and decided to take a close look at this picture and why it's looking so to my senses, upward. And I noticed that it was one of these Chinese painting kind of thing they painted. And I noticed this Krishna was painted with two left hands. So when he tried to hold the flute, both hands looked the same, you know, like if you have two left or two right, they would all look the same. So that's what I was seeing. And I actually still have that picture in our Tulsi house until now. So it's kind of I've never seen that before, but if you look at it closely, you'll see. Because I was trying to put my hands like how his hands are to see how he can hold a flute like that, and I can't figure it out until I figure, well, okay, it's drawn with your two left hands. Hare Krishna. So anything else? I guess we can stop here. Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai, Srila Prabhupada ki jai.
Let's do it.